So we have today in this gospel this foundational passage for us as Catholics, as Christians, as members of the one body of Christ, the Roman Catholic Church. That this Matthew 16, 13 through 20 should be part of our common understanding of the scriptures and of the church, and maybe even try to commit this passage to memory or to have it so familiar that you can speak of it so eloquently. Because this is the foundation of who we are. Much like it's so popular these days to do the DNA test, your ancestry lineage, to find out who we are, where we come from, this is it. And maybe if we were more certain about this, we wouldn't be so distracted by all the divisions, the superficial divisions among people these days. If we truly understood the nature of who God is, and what his call, his commission for his children are, we would be more unified into one body. Because this is the mind of Jesus. This right here sets the stage for everything that is to come after the death of Jesus. And we listened to this first reading from Isaiah 22, which is the foundation, the backdrop, the understanding of what Jesus was doing with Peter. The kingdom of David was promised to last forever. And when the angel came to announce to Mary that her son would be the king, he would be the king of David to sit on his throne, and his kingdom would have no end. But that kingdom, the throne of David, had been empty for almost six centuries. And so it was a vague memory. But our prophet Isaiah today is bringing it fresh to our memories so that the words of Jesus make sense and so that we can live in the truth as it's given to us today. That in the kingdom of David, he had a prime minister, the master of the house, who was the second in command, that he operated and he spoke with the same power and authority as the king. And as we heard, he wore the keys. He had the keys of the kingdom. And he was able to open and shut. And he was to be a father to the people. So just as we hear that once again, I would hope that our mind is starting to see where the papacy and the foundation of the church comes alive to us in the words of the scripture. Because Jesus asked the apostles, who do people say that I am? I mean, we can ask the question, who do people say the church is? What distortions of the truth are out there about the nature of the church and the nature of the papacy? That is just a medieval invention that the men came together to protect their property and their money. That it's a source of suppression and tyranny. That it stifles freedom, and that we don't need these structures. That's a direct contradiction to the mind of God, the very words of Jesus. Jesus walked with his disciples about 25 miles out of town to this place of Caesarea Philippi, where there was built into the stone, the rock, a temple to Caesar, the Roman God. Hail Caesar, Caesar Kyrios, Lord Caesar. He had a temple that people would go and worship. There was also a Greek pagan temple there built into the rock where their Greek mythology would be honored and they would burn incense. Jesus takes them to this place of idols, and reveals the plan for true worship. Who do people say that I am? When we listen to the news, when we listen to the politicians, when we scroll through our media feeds, who do people tell us Jesus is? What kind of lies and misinformation are out there about who Jesus is and what he is okay with and what he allows his children to do? Especially in the area of morality, sexuality, and marriage, and how we treat one another. What lies are out there? who do people say that I am? And Jesus had been doing so many miracles, so many things. Maybe he's trying to get a feel. Maybe this is a public opinion poll. What are people saying about me? You're Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah. One of these dead men is what the people were saying. But the important question that he asked them and that Jesus must ask, we must allow ourselves to be asked by Jesus. And we must answer it. And we do answer it, whether we realize it or not. With every word I say, every action I take, I answer this question of Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Because your actions and your words reveal your answer, whether you realize it or not. And this revelation of the Father, from the Father to Peter, is groundbreaking. It wasn't something that Peter just deduced, that he came to his own understanding. This infused knowledge from the Father to Peter about who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the long-awaited King to come and set us free. That's who you are. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus speaks this blessing over him, and then he gives him a new name, which should bring our minds back to the Old Testament of how many times someone received a new name when they were receiving their commission to live a new and radical life. This transformation of Simon into Peter, this is the first time anyone has received that name, Rock, before. This is the first time that you are Rock. You see these temples to the idols built upon rock? That's who you are. You are rock, and on you I'm building my own temple. I'm building my church on you. My church. Not a church, not one of 4,000 or 30,000 different communities, but my church. My sons and my daughters, my people who have been called out of the world into me. This is who and what I'm building on you, Peter. Trust the same inspiration that gave you my identity. Live in that truth that the Father will continue to reveal the truth to you. This is what Jesus is telling Peter. I will give you the keys to the kingdom. So just like in the first reading, you have the keys. You can open and shut. You can bind and you can loose. You have the authority to speak in my name, to speak with my authority and my power. This is this great commissioning of Peter today. This is our history. This is our foundation. And the gates of the netherworld, the gates of hell, the kingdom of Satan will never prevail against my church. This is the promise of Jesus. So we can have confidence. We prayed in the collect about the uncertainties of the world. We don't need anyone to explain to us the truth of that statement, how many uncertainties we face daily. So in the midst of the uncertainties of this world, we have confidence in Holy Mother Church, that the gates of the netherworld, the lies of the devil, will never prevail. So if that's true, then necessarily everything Mother Church teaches is true. No question. Because if she ever teaches something that's not true, therefore a lie, the gates of hell have prevailed. And if that ever happens, then Jesus is a liar. It all makes sense. This is the plan of our Heavenly Father. That he didn't just come to earth and do some amazing things and shake things up and begin a social justice path to, natural pleasure. But he came to rescue us from the jaws of Satan, from the gates of the netherworld, and to set us back once again into right relationship. And he didn't just leave us to figure it out on our own. that maybe 1,000 or 1,500 years later after his death, we would come to the truth about what it means to be a Christian. From the very first moments, he was laying the foundation for his church, his body, to speak with his authority, to be the source of truth and unity for us, his children. This is why I can rest secure in the midst of the uncertainties of the world. This is why I can trust Mother Church. How inscrutable your ways, St. Paul was praising Jesus. Do we have this same inspiration to praise the Father for the gift of the church which he has given us? The only light in the darkness, the only path to freedom and salvation, Holy Mother Church. Do I live in such a way that my life reveals that I believe this? Jesus has one church, my church. Jesus prays elsewhere that there'd be only one flock, not a plurality of different choices to be a Christian in many different other communities. One, the Holy Roman Catholic Church is the only church that Jesus desires. How does his grace work outside of that? That's a mystery left to him. But we know the truth. The normal, ordinary way of salvation is in the Holy Catholic Church through her sacraments. We know of no other way of salvation. And this gives us the freedom to live. This isn't about arrogance. This isn't about superiority. This is about the truth of who we are as trustful children in the loving arms of our Father, who did not abandon us to figure it out on our own. And it's with that understanding and that confidence that we can allow those questions of Jesus to really be asked of us today. How do I answer that question? Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to me? How do I know? Do I have to go figure it out and hope I'm right? Or can I trust Mother Church? Can I trust who she says Jesus is? And then can I surrender myself to her? Peter was transformed radically in this moment. As Simon became Peter, and Jesus renewed and emphasized his identity and who he is. And then he gave him a mission to lead the flock. When we allow our hearts to be transformed and be conformed to the truth of who Jesus is and who his church is, this is when we receive our identity. This is when we grow in the confidence of who we are. Not a self-made man or woman, but a loved child of the Father who holds nothing back and has given me everything that I need to flourish. When I receive that identity, when I receive that understanding of my relationship with him, then I can go out on my mission. Then I can go out into the world and proclaim this truth. This world that is so uncertain and living in darkness, living in the throes of hell, under the power of Satan, that we can go and bring light and truth and goodness to the world. But it requires a humble submission of my own will, my own desires, my own ideas of how things should be. This wasn't a flesh and blood decision Peter came to. The gift of faith is a supernatural gift, and we should daily pray for a renewing, an outpouring, a strengthening of our faith, so that when the lies of the world are loud and try to distract us from who the truth of Jesus is and who his church is, that we can withstand, that we can stand firm, and we can stand strong. We are in a battle, no doubt, dark and light, good and evil, but we don't need to fear. We can rest comfortably in the arms of Holy Mother Church, the bride of Christ, the spouse of Jesus. This is who she is, and it's who we are. And we can know this because we know who he is. Ask for that grace, that free gift of faith, to grow in confidence in the identity of Jesus and the identity of the church, so that in our own identity and mission, we can go out and we can change the world. The world needs your witness. Once again, Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Amen.